Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the 11 o'clock hour on a Thursday. You know what that means. That means Chris Hokie Bro 76 is in the studio. We follow one Stanley Cup champion with a Super Bowl champion. Chris, how are you today?
Doing great, Pom. Great to be with you, brother.
You too. Looking forward to another big week. We got a game. In fact, we have a series of games coming up on KDKA, which means this week we have a post-game show on the mothership right after the game. It's Pittsburgh and Chicago.
On the mothership. On Channel mothership. 2 this time.
That's right. It's either there or KDK Plus. We do it every week. By the way, you can't count on much these days, but I'm going to tell you one thing you can always count on Sundays. With the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus, watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with a juicy Week 12 matchup between the Steelers and the Bears. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So before we delve into the next game, which is the Bears, and they're 7-3, sometimes I look at their team and I wonder if they're worthy of that record, but they do find ways to win. We'll get into that in a second. But your takeaway from last Sunday's game, where the Bengals were in town, and honestly, they were down 13-9, but driving for what could have been the go-ahead score in the third quarter when Kyle Duggar made the play of the game right there. Your take on what you saw from that game, what do you like, what you didn't like from that
game? That's the story
game
of the team this year, Pomp, right? I mean, if they have to go tit for tat, if they have to go toe-to-toe with the team and not get a turnover, but just play a clean football game, they struggle to win those games. But when the defense is able to create turnovers, which is tough to do every single week, some teams are going to play clean in many weeks. It's tough for the Steelers to win those football games. And so, like, again, this game, it was a close ball game, right? A one-score game, and with the Bengals moving, Joe Flacco moving the ball. And what a great stunt up front. You had T.J. Watt coming off the edge hot. You had Nick Herbig come on a three-man stunt up the middle, and it forced Flacco to throw the football early and threw it right into Duggar's hands and took it back for a touchdown. And that to me, that's one of the stories of this game was the transformation, if you will, or the difference the Steelers looked between the first game they played a month ago against the Bengals, and then this game on Sunday, completely different defense. The pressure they put on Joe Flacco, the pressure and the way they challenged these receivers, the tightness of the zone, the way they were able to disguise the coverage a little bit, right, and show one coverage and let the snap run to another. All those things combined helped them hold this Bengals offense that was the hottest pump. The hottest offense in the NFL.
They were.
Over the last month since Flacco got there.
42 points, 39 points. Every time you turned around, they were scoring Joe Flacco.
That was 37 points a game.
They're not the problem.
No,
the problem is stopping.
Flacco looked, he didn't look flustered, but he did not look comfortable in the pocket because they didn't let him sit still in the pocket. You know, in the first, and they got them to challenge the receivers, and then when they played zone, they were able to be tight and passing, and the linebackers, I thought they were one of their best games they played in terms of coverage underneath. And so I think combined with all of that, they were embarrassed the first game. Their pride came out and it showed, and they took over this game.
So I want to go back to that first drive that Cincinnati scored on, because I never understand why coaches will go for a two-point conversion when it's first quarter. You have already kicked the extra point. It's 7-7.
Yeah.
There's a penalty on the Steelers. They take it, move it to the 1 yard line or wherever, and try to go. Why do they do that?
I don't understand.
Because to me, you and I talk about all day.
This, you and I talked about this on Sunday during commercial breaks, and it doesn't make sense, right? You have the points. It's a tie ball game on the road. You go for two. I mean, yeah, the percentages of you converting 1 yard closer, really, to me, it's no big deal. Down at on that 2-point conversion, go up a little bit. But the reality is you don't get that like they did. They went Wildcat. I mean, that's your best play on a two-point conversion? You go
Flacco
Wildcat?
Over to the right.
Yeah.
I mean.
And he run right at Cam Hayward? Yeah. I mean, listen. And then you get stopped. And now, like you said, on when you talked about this, you're chasing the score the whole game. Now you're down, and you're on the road. Take that point, in my opinion. It's these analytics now. I mean, people live and die by the analytics, and you have to in some situations. But other situations, just play with common sense, man, how the football game's been played for all these years. Take the points on the road, tie ball game. There's something to say about the emotional lift from that, too. When you miss that extra point.
Well, you give the Steelers momentum right back.
It's deflating.
Right?
Yeah, it gives the momentum back to the Steelers, and it's deflating for the Bengals. I thought it was a bad call. But analytics tell you to do it.
Well, analytics don't tell you to do it right off the bat in your first drive. It can't possibly
I don't know.
That.
I'm not a guru in analytics, right. but Pomp, almost every team does it.
I just don't understand the value in it. I don't. So you lead 8-7. Okay, so what? You may force the other team here and there to do something, but it's early in the game. Wait until you have to do it anyway. The other thing that came out of that game was roughing the passer. We talk about this for the ad infinitum. We're going to talk about what is roughing the passer because they've made it hard on officials. They have a rule which makes it sound like, you know, you got to protect the quarterback at all costs, even when somebody falls on that quarterback.
Yeah.
That's basically what T.J. Watt was called for, you know, falling on Flacco going backwards. And then later in the game, nothing was called when Rodgers got plastered back into the turf.
Yeah.
So what is it? Why
it's
is
subjective.
It called?
That's the deal with this.
It shouldn't be subjective.
But it is subjective. And the reality is a lot of these calls are subjective. It's not black and white. It's not just boom. It's not straightforward. And so you have to make that emotional call. And sometimes it's a quick turn of the head. It's you know, split second movements, and you make these calls. To me, the two pass interference calls that extended the drive there at the end of the half for the Steelers. Extended the drive for the Steelers were bad calls. I think the Bengals pass interference calls.
That wasn't
bad.
A good one.
No, there was one that come off the left side. I believe it was, what was his
Murphy,
name? Murphy.
Yeah. And Murphy came in and he did.
As a defensive lineman
in
your pass rushing, you're taught to dip and lean and get low and have some bend. He did all of those things. He beat Fautanu, comes around the edge. What do you want him to do? Pop up and chest bump him? The guy was already coming around the edge in a great football position. What do you expect him to do? And I thought that was a bad call. And then the next pass interference call on the Bengals was equally bad. I guess you can see the left arm. We didn't get a good angle on TV. I didn't see a better angle, but I guess he may have hit him in the face mask. So if he did that, I guess you can justify that call. TJ Watt's call, the reality is this. He drove him into the ground. Even though his weight was a little bit to the right, these things happen so fast.
I know that.
And so the refs.
Did you see that as egregious, though?
Not egregious, but it's I would say that the letter of the law, he drove him into the ground.
Okay, what did the other two guys do when they drove Rodgers into the ground?
Been called.
Because it's the same. If you look at the TJ Watt thing, you saw this, Austin. Yeah. So Flacco is delivering the ball. He hits him just as he's delivering the ball. So what's he supposed to do at that point? Now, if you're going to call that. When you look at the Rodgers play, he also just delivered the ball. It's the same situation straight on, and two guys weighing 360 pounds fell on him.
I think the difference, if I can go back and think clearly about Rodgers' play, he was scrambling. He was outside of the pocket.
No, he wasn't. He was in the play. He moved a little to his left.
He rolled out around the tackle. He came outside of him, Pomp.
I don't believe that.
I thought it was the same as you, Bob. I thought that.
He was
standing there.
He came up, and I'm trying to think of the exact – I know exactly what the play was. I saw because I watched it this morning. But he stepped up to his left. He kind of came out and rolled out like a minor –
So that eliminates roughing the passer?
No, what I'm saying is it's more of – now it's a question of is he a runner, is he a passer? No,
he ain't a runner.
I'm just trying to help you see the other side.
I don't want to see the other side. I thought it was.
It could have been called.
TJ Watt was called. That should have been called too.
It could. No, there's no question about it. But I'm trying to say, okay, what were the refs thinking? Why didn't they call that one? You asked me a question. Why didn't they call that? I'm trying to see the other side and say, why didn't they call that one versus the one against TJ Watt? And the only thing was Flacco was sitting there like a statue.
Well, wait a minute. Flacco was moving to his left also. If you remember that play, he wasn't totally.
But it wasn't like, go out and watch those plays. Like, watch them slowly. Watch them again. I mean, Rodgers was clearly moving. Much more than Flacco did.
Well, for the record, I don't want any of those called roughing the passer.
No,
but if one is called,
they're terrible calls.
Then the precedent should be on Cincinnati had two guys fall on Rodgers for the same exact kind of play almost.
It's one of those things you tell your defenders. Listen, you go out there and play football. Sometimes you're going to get the bear. Sometimes the bear is going to get you. And you're going to get those calls. It's like pass interference, right? You're going to go out there and play physical defense. Sometimes they're going to call, sometimes they're not. There's a lot of times when the cornerbacks are holding the heck out of a receiver. Nothing's called. And then he's barely even touching them, and it's called. It's the same thing, right? It's subjective. And in these situations, I don't believe any of those. Pure football, I say, you know, in traditional football, those are crap calls. But the reality is they were called, and I'm trying, you asked me what was the difference. I'm trying to see the perspective from the refs and say, okay, maybe this is what they saw differently. I'm not saying it was right, but I'm saying what they saw differently.
Yeah, some of those are just such bang, bang calls.
They are.
Where I think it's hard to differentiate between the two.
The reason why it's tough, right? Unless you want to have instant replay on every single play and you go pixel by pixel, you're going to have that human error. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have that unless you want to have like what do you call those glasses that are like?
Those Oculuses.
What do you call those?
The Oculus glasses, Bob,
yeah,
I think, right?
You can see instantly. You can see instant replay. I mean, other than that, there's no way of eliminating human error. You're going to have that in football games.
Yeah, but I think they make it tough on those officials by putting this down their throats. Safety, okay. Yeah. To me, it has to be egregious. I saw nothing egregious on any of those hits.
I agree with you on that, Pomp. I don't think it was egregious. I'm trying to tell you what was the difference and why
In that same game, one was called, one wasn't. Same exact play, I thought. Anyway.
That happens game in and game out, by the way. That happens game in, but game
I know
out.
That. Just like holding calls could be called, won't call. I mean, but they do, and they put into play this year, replay assist. And so I know there's sort of a limitation on how much they could use it, but I'm going to go to the – and I say this because Connor Hayward did not get first down yardage.
No.
On that fourth
down.
He was way short.
He was way short. He was short.
And yet they allowed it to stand. Both of those side judges came in, and they were at the line, and they moved it back.
Yeah.
Why can't replay assist say something there?
I think they should have there too. The side judge that was coming down the line gave him a short of the first down. And he was going to play. And then they moved it.
They moved it. Yeah, they moved it.
I don't understand why. They should do on something like that. But the thing is, at some point, you got to say, okay, we've got to keep these times of the game in check, right? We can't have more than 3 hours. So they can't keep doing instant replay.
But they are. They're adding more and more every year, though.
They are, but the game's still staying in 3 hours, plus or minus.
I don't know that even matters. It doesn't.
I think for TV contracts, right? Because we have 1 and 4 o'clock games.
I know.
And so the reality is, to me, he did not get that first down. They've got to figure this thing out. But I think they're always tweaking, always adjusting. But what drives me crazy is this safety of the game. I mean, listen, there's these things sometimes they go overboard. They're overcorrecting on things. It's because of these lawsuits and all the things that are going on. But to me, I think they've overcorrected on some of these things. Let football players be football players. The game, what bangs around in my head, Pomp, what keeps bouncing around in my head is Coach Cower sitting in front of the team in a team meeting and saying, this game is a violent game. It's not for everybody. If you don't want to be violent, you're not going to be in this room. That's what football is made to be. That's how football was built on, where I'm men being violent, being able to go out on that football field and punish somebody, be able to go out somebody and whoop somebody's butt and not get in trouble for it for 60 minutes.
Well, I'm sure that Cower also, spit accidentally on people. But
no question.
I've been
the recipient of some spit.
Okay, but it was accidental friendly fire spit. What we saw from Jalen Ramsey and Ja'Marr Chase was not.
No.
So he got a 1-game suspension. He tried to defend it by saying, well, if I really wanted to spit on him, I'd spit directly on his face. I didn't. Well, the fact
is, it was a guy who got caught in a lie, didn't think about
it. He lied about
all these cameras.
Everything else.
Yeah, he lied
one game
the
enough.
Right after the game.
Is one game the right call?
Yeah. I mean, listen, the reality is, you know, what he did, and that's a game check, too. For him, that's a lot of money.
$500,000 or more, right?
Yeah. And so that's a lot of money, and it would be more if they were in the hunt or like they were playing in a game that meant something. These games to them don't mean anymore. So
how about if this was a playoff game, Cincinnati hypothetically won it and they needed him
He still deserves to be sat down.
You think they would have given them the same?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. They got to be consistent with these things. And doing that, here's the thing. If you don't punish someone for spitting on someone's face, you're enabling the behavior. And you're allowing that to be perpetuated throughout the NFL.
Guess what? Some guys may be willing to lose a game check one, but not two. If you make it two games.
Why would you spit on somebody? What does that do?
I don't know. It makes you look like I
keep going back to my coaches. Because I played for the Steelers for 11 years, and I played with Cower and Tomlin. I played with Coach Mitchell, one of the greatest D-line coaches of all time. And I remember him, whenever something like that would happen, I was like his sounding board, it seemed like, during the game time. He'd go, Hokie, that's just stupid. That's just selfish. What are you hurting the team? What is he doing? You know, and stuff like that. And it's selfish. It's not. Football is the ultimate team sport. And when you go out and you spit on someone, or you go out and you do something stupid and get thrown out of a game, or you do whatever, and you do something post-play to get a penalty, it's selfish. It hurts the team.
Yeah, it does. Totally.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's selfish. Mike Tomlin, after the game, pretty much said that Ramsey shouldn't have done it. You don't want to respond to that because
but
you
had
get yourself in trouble.
But he had a different tune
on Tuesday when asked the second time.
Absolutely.
He says, do what comes natural.
Yeah.
And it is.
And that's part of Tomlin being who Tomlin is. He's got his guys back. And Ramsey's his guy. So he's not going to come out and speak. He's not going to speak against Ramsey in that situation. He's going to have his back because Tomlin is a player's coach in that situation. He's going to let Ramsey know, hey, I got you, brother. And that's what he did.
All right, let's talk about the biggest story of the week, and that would be Aaron Rodgers. He is nursing his way back. Yesterday he spoke, said it's a safety issue more than anything. He wants to make sure. I'm sure you've gone through wrist injuries, and you know guys who have.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with that, especially as a quarterback? And again, it's not his throwing hand, but it's his left hand. But he does go under center. You know, people worry about center quarterback exchanges a lot. Does it impact it at all, or do you think he's going to play with
depends
with
on the
problems?
Degree, right, and how sore it is. I mean, they can do things to minimize the pain. A little shot.
I like how you smiled at that.
Yeah.
All the YouTube people out there, Austin saw it, and he goes, there are things that can minimize the pain.
That's right. They can do things
you know
like
what that is.
that will help them endure. But what's the deflection like in his wrist? I mean, what can he grip the football? Can he have two hands on the ball when he snaps? Can he get the ball out of there and not only put with one arm when the snap, or even when he goes shotgun, if he's trying to move the ball around, pat the ball, whatever. Can he do those things? So first of all, number one is can he deal with the pain, and will it get worse, Pomp? If it's going to get displaced or something like that, we don't know what the degree of the break is. But is there a possibility he can go out there and this thing can go from being a little small fracture to a displaced fracture?
Right.
So that's number one. Number two is pain tolerance. Can he deal with it? Number three is ball security. Can he protect the ball? Right. If he goes out, I mean, so he's got to be able to show. That's the part where if the coach is going to make a decision, is it will become displaced. And then two, will he be able to secure the football? So Tomlin, pain tolerance is up to Aaron Rodgers. But can he secure the football? Because if he can't, he's going to hurt the team. And that's where Tomlin's got to decide. That's why I think Rodgers got to get out there and he's got to show that, hey, this isn't going to limit me in terms of my ability to. Now, listen, Rodgers isn't out there trying to tuck and run. Right. You watch him right now. A lot of his plays these days are just throw the ball and put his hands on his hips and watch everybody work. I mean, go back and watch the film. That's what he does. He throws the ball. It's kind of like the same way he stands on those tush pushes with Connor Hayward. Same thing. He just throws the ball and puts his hands on his hips and just watches everybody play. And that's kind of what he does. So if that's all he's going to do in this game, then if he can hold the ball, I see him playing.
So Mark Cabali, who's on the show a lot.
Yeah.
And we love Mark. And he is one of
love
these.
Mark.
He believes that he was the first to support Mason Rudolph. I would clearly say, Mark, that's not the case, because Chris Hoke has been on this Mason Rudolph. And I like Mason a lot. I think he's come a long way in this second tour of duty with him. He looks more confident than ever. But you way back when were calling for him to play, even as far back as when there was a need before Pickett was ever drafted. You said he should get an opportunity, drafted him third round with a first round grade. So you've been there. So I know you have total confidence in what he can do.
No question. First of all, I love Mark, but just because you say it doesn't make it true, right? There's no question. Everybody in Pittsburgh knows that I was the one who's – Mason knows. He told me. So let's be honest. Like, Mark knows. He just, you know, he broke a story this week about George Pickens, and now I got to keep going. I'm going to say this. Listen, the reality is, Mark, we love you, bro, but you don't need to say that in order to love you. We love you regardless. Number two is there's no question that Mason can play football. The last four games he's played for the Steelers. Last four games he started for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Does this count the playoff game or not?
Regular no, it counts. It's the last four regular season games.
Right.
Steelers. And I don't think he played. Besides that interception he threw in the end zone, he played good in the playoff game.
They were involved in that game.
He played good enough to win, I thought.
But he still made the interception. But I agree.
But how many winning quarterbacks in playoff games throw interceptions? Yeah. A lot.
Totally, I understand.
Okay. In the last four regular season games with the Steelers, Mason Rudolph, 4-0. 65 for 87 for 843 yards. This is from Pony. I'm going to give credit here to Pony. Pony posted this on his Twitter. I got it from him. Four touchdowns, zero interceptions. He has the best passer rating in the NFL in those four games.
Yeah, it's like 118. Which
give the man a chance. Listen.
Yeah, but they're not going to do it with Aaron Rodgers.
No. But listen, if there's any question, give him the keys to the car. Let him go and ride.
Yeah, I agree with that. If he and that's what Mike Tomlin and the coaching staff have got to decide, who's better in terms of healthy, ball security, pain tolerance, everything involved with that versus Mason Rudolph, who's totally healthy and looks confident and is having a lot of fun out there. So I think that's the decision.
And this, Bob, let's be honest. Like, there was something different to that offense in the second half.
It was a little energized.
It's something you can't explain, but you can see it. You could feel it, but you couldn't explain why. But the reality was, in the first half, Aaron Rodgers had five drives. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And what did they have? They had 10 points?
10 points.
10 points, right? On five drives. Yep. 2 for 7 on third down. In comes Mason Rudolph. Two drives, right?
Two scores.
He had two scores at 10 points, right? He had more passing yards in two drives than Aaron Rodgers, and he was 5 for 6 on third down.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't like third and two. He converted.
No, on that
and
one drive, there was a like, third and 11, a third and 17.
And he had a beautiful throw, back shoulder fade to DK Metcalf that called OPI, right? So, listen, Mason Rudolph is more than capable. He can drive this car. For some reason over the years, they haven't given him that opportunity. But there's no question, I think, in anybody's mind now, that if Aaron Rodgers can't go on Sunday, Mason Rudolph can lead this team to a victory.
So this is revisionist history, but I just want to get your take. Back when they were looking for a quarterback and about to draft Kenny Pickett in the first round, did you believe that you have Mason Rudolph right here?
Yep.
Why not make him your starter?
They didn't believe because the people that made the decision didn't believe it.
But you believed it.
I believed it, but there were people inside that building that believed it. But the people that made the decisions did not think that he was ready or did not think, Coach Mitch used to always say, Hoke, you know what potential means? It means you're not ready. And so with Mason,
well, they saw a lot of potential in Kenny, and he wasn't ready.
And we'll see if Kenny's in the league. Maybe if one of these days he pops up as a Sam Darnold. I think that if Mason was given the keys to the car and the number one guy and given a leash and say, hey, listen, this is your team, I think Mason could be a Sam Darnold.
Wow. Well, I mean, he's been.
I do believe that. I mean, listen, has he shown you he can't?
No, I would love to see them see what happens when he is given the keys. I would, because I do think, and I'm like you, I think sometimes quarterbacks, man, it takes a long time to figure it out.
Do.
You go through different coordinators. Some are bad programs. Some are good. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be your best guess would be Rodgers starts this week.
If he wants to play, and you know that guys like Rodgers, guys like Jalen Ramsey, guys like Cam Hayward, TJ, they have a lot of influence on Mike Tomlin. And so if Aaron wants to play and he's not going to make it worse and he's not going to put the team's chances to win in jeopardy, he plays.
The Chris Hoke Show is brought to you by Globe Airport Parking here on 93.7 The Fan.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on the Chris Hoke Show right here, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Austin City Limits Bechtel behind the glass. Chris Hoke is here, and before I get into the Bears, Chris, and it's an interesting matchup, George Pickens went off the other night, and he has had a tremendous season. Second in the NFL in yards, second in touchdowns. He has 58 catches, on pace for 100-plus catches. Just your take on looking back at that deal. They made it because, obviously, they looked at it as – addition by subtraction, but I was always of the belief that I like players who are playing for money. Now, I don't care who you are, sure, what position you play. If money is the motivating force, which it should be, because he's never had a big-time contract. Sure, he's making $3.6 million. But for me, he was always looking at potentially more if he could not only become less of a jagoff, but perform. And he's done both, at least for now, in Dallas. Your take on that, and do you think the Steelers would like to have that over again, pairing him with Metcalf?
Of course, the way he's playing now, they'd love to have that over again. But the reality was, it's cool. We can't, again, a revisionist, right? We can't rewrite
history.
I'm
just asking.
Yeah, I mean, the reality was, when he was here, he wore out his welcome, right? He was late to meetings. He was late to planes. He was late to the stadium on game day. There was no sense of accountability to his teammates, to the team. He kind of beat to his own drum. It made things challenging, and it kind of hurt the chemistry of the team a little bit. And so, you know, the reality was sometimes somebody needs to be kicked to the curb, cut, or traded away, and there needs to be a new voice, or there needs to be a change of scenery, or listen, hey, you know, you got one more shot, and this is your last chance, and then you're going to be on the street.
You do believe in last chances? Because I do.
Yeah,
I
there's no question.
No matter how bad
how
of a
many
person you
I mean,
are.
He was given, my understanding,
never faced,
so many
he never faced a contract expiration. And he did.
No,
with
but
the
he
potential.
Faced hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines.
Okay.
Inside the team.
All the more.
So the reality
the
was
contract.
That never impacted him. We're talking pump. Probably more money than you make in terms of fines. Yeah. Which is a lot.
That's a lot of money.
Which is a lot of money. But what I'm saying is that this guy, they fined the heck out of him. And he still didn't change his behavior. Right? And so the reality was sometimes a guy like him, he's a high draft pick, high potential guy, played at Georgia. They're always going to be given second, third, fourth chances at other teams. Sometimes guys need to be kicked to the curb, need to be put out on the street to wake up. Or sometimes they need to be traded and a new change, a new voice, a change of scenery, maybe I do need to shape up a little bit.
Sure,
and
I understand.
You're seeing
that
now.
This is also,
plus, you have a different offense.
Yeah, but
you have
an offense and a coaching philosophy. It should not start with the talent you have. In other words, I look at my talent, and I'm going to devise the offense that is best suited to bring out that talent. I'm not going to try to have my offense, and you have to adjust to it.
That's how it should be done, right? I mean, that's kind of how a lot of times the offensive game plans and offensive schemes are devised, right? A good coach is a guy that can see who his collective is, and then bring everybody together and say, I got talent here, and use them. The Steelers are doing that right now. They believe that their talent is in the tight ends. And so they're using multiple tight end sets, right? 13 personnel, 12 personnel.
Enough, though. I haven't seen many targets to Freiermuth or Jonnu Smith of late.
Look at Darnell Washington converting two big third downs in this game to keep drives going and stumbling and bumbling and inspiring a whole team. I would say, I mean, he had, 67 yards in this game, if my numbers are right. Yeah, four catches for six, five targets.
And six road kills
and had
along
about,
the way.
Yeah, and about six road kills, six broken tackles, which really increased the energy of the sideline of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No question.
So the reality is they're going to more of this offense, which we've seen a lot. And I like
– But they still are looking for a so-called number two. That's
yeah,
my only thing about
– Yeah, I think looking George back Pickens. On it, do they wish they could have – maybe gotten more for him probably now, the way they're seeing him perform. They knew, everybody knew he had the talent. It's not about the talent. There's a lot of guys that come in and out of the league, Pomp. I played in this league for 11 years. I was not the most athletic guy, but I was reliable. I was dependable. I didn't make mistakes. I showed up when I was supposed to. I did what I was asked to do. There were a lot of guys that came and went at the nose tackle position that were much more athletic than me. They were probably better football players than me. But when you combined my reliability and dependability with what I brought to the team in terms of my play, it surpassed what these really, really athletic guys. And sometimes you have that. Those things happen in the NFL.
Yeah, and I understand. I understand both sides of it, actually. I mean, I was just intrigued to see what it would look like.
He's killing it.
Two guys, two of those alpha males.
Yeah.
Metcalf on one side, Pickett's on the other. To me, it would have opened everything up. But that's water under the bridge. So we'll move on. Talk about Chicago. They're 7-3. Are they the real deal? When you look at them, do you see a team that right now is in first place in a very competitive division, and will they end up there at the end of the year?
They got a tough stretch coming up. You know, they got the Steelers. They have two. I'm trying to remember back.
Just because Detroit, Minnesota, and Green Bay are in their division,
they have Green Bay coming up. They have three like playoff teams coming up, and so this is where in the next month you're going to see, are the Bears for real? Let me tell you this: they're exciting offensively. Caleb Williams, he is a young football player that thinks he's a Brett Favre. He thinks he can put the ball anywhere, whenever he wants, and so this could work well for the Steelers, and it could hurt the Steelers. Playing in Chicago, it could hurt the Steelers more than it helps them, because he could give them the ball, right? Because he thinks he can put the ball anywhere, and he could put it right in the Steelers' hands.
But he hasn't done that.
But he hasn't done that, and he's so elusive. This guy can spin out of everything. I watched a couple games, this week in preparation, and he can get out of any kind of rush. So this is going to be hard for the Steelers to get him down. You can't employ the same kind of rush that you did against the Bengals with Joe Flacco, knowing he's just going to be standing there. Like, you have to have more of an organized and orchestrated rush that will keep him in the pocket, because he'll get out of the pocket, and this sucker can throw the ball 70 yards like nobody's business. I mean, he has an arm, mm-hmm. and he is a first overall pick. I mean, he has all the tangibles. Now, and he has the receivers, his tight ends. I'm really impressed with his tight ends. Loveland, Emmett, those are great tight ends. So it's going to be a challenge for the linebackers and our safeties to cover those guys, because they're playmakers. They can play. Yeah. And then you have DeAndre Swift. And DeAndre can run the football, man. They pounded in the second half. They pounded the Vikings, right? Brian Flores, proud defense. They pounded them. Yeah. And he come into this game, he's averaging 4.7 yards a carry, 5 touchdowns. This is offense is really good. Their defense, they're walking wounded. They have some injuries. So who's going to show up? Are they going to have the starters come back that are banged up? Are they playing with their backups? Their linebackers, they have three linebackers that are banged up. They have three DBs that are banged up. So that could work into the Steelers' favor. But if this defense doesn't create turnovers on Sunday, they'll be in a shootout, because these Bears are opportunistic.
Yep.
They lead the NFL in turnover ratio. They lead the NFL in turnovers, created turnovers.
22 takeaways. It's almost like the Steelers and the Bears, you're looking in the mirror, you see each other.
Yeah.
That's how they play.
Yeah, so I would say, to me, it would be a clear-cut win for the Steelers if they're playing in the confines of Acrisure Stadium. Going to Soldier Field, which is a very tough place to play, playing at home against a young football team that's feeling themselves right now. They're 7-3, feeling pretty confident. I think this is going to be a battle in Soldier Field.
Yeah. Actually, as we speak, they're putting up the Steelers schedule on one of these broadcasts we see. So it's the Bears, then the Bills, then the Ravens for the Steelers, then Dolphins, Lions, Browns,
and we're going to see where the Dolphins are going to be. I mean, four games out, right? The Dolphins, they've run a two-game win streak, I believe.
Yeah,
so we're going to see where they're at. Four weeks away, have they turned this thing around? Will they be 4-2 in those games and all of a sudden now a hot team? Mm-hmm. We'll find out. But those next three games are going to be tough for the Steelers.
Ben Johnson's their new head coach. He comes from Detroit, and he's doing what he did in Detroit in Chicago, which is, you mentioned DeAndre Swift, but they have this seventh-round pick, Menungai, from Rutgers, and they're complementing one another. They also have a tight end. You know, it was
Loveland.
Yeah, and he's been terrific. Colton Loveland has been, but he reminds me of the big Detroit tight end who they brought in, drafted, and utilized all the time, Sam Laporta.
Yeah.
So he's doing what he did in Detroit, only with this team. He's also, and Mike Tomlin told me about this when we taped our show this week, he's the gadget guy. He does things that you may not, know coming when they're coming. So if when you play defense, you had teams that threw gadgets. Yeah. How do you prepare for gadgets? Is there time during the course of the week?
You talk about them. but you can't you can't spend too much time on them. You've got to talk about them. These guys are professionals, so they've got to see it and they've got to log it in their bank.
Did you see the Cincinnati game? They threw a touchdown pass to Caleb Williams.
Yeah, they've got to be ready. And sometimes they're gadget plays and they work. They're the greatest plays in the world. But when they don't work, they get crushed on by guys like me and you in the media, right? And so yep. The reality is, let's see. We got to be ready. You got to take your key. The biggest thing is this. Gadget plays won't work if guys play disciplined football. If defenders take their keys and they read their keys and they pass off their key when they move, they'll be right in the same right position they need to be in. But if they don't take their key, if they're out there just playing, trying to make plays, trying to do their own thing and not playing within the structure of the defense, that's when gadget plays beat you.
So your take, Pittsburgh, Chicago on Sunday afternoon.
Here's my thing. The Steelers are what? 2-3 over the last five games? Yeah, 2-3.
Well, they were
4-1, and now they're 6-4.
Yeah, so right.
Yeah, 2-3. Very inconsistent. Up, down, right? They're going to L.A., get crushed. They beat the Colts.
They beat New England at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, New England gave that game.
They gave that game. I got it, but they still won it.
New England's. I don't know if that would be the outcome. Drake May's a much different quarterback now than he was then. And then you come in here and you handily beat the Bengals, who handily beat you the month before. Which Pittsburgh Steelers team are we going to get? Are we going to get the team that comes out and plays 60 minutes, who creates turnovers, who puts pressure on the quarterback? Or are we going to get the team that comes out here and looks like they sleepwalk for a majority of the game? I think this is going to be a tough game. I think that this young Bears team has the potential to put up a lot of points. And so I think this is going to be a battle. I picked the Bears to win this game in Soldier Field. I think it'll be a 21-20 win. It'll be a tight ball game.
It'll be close. And this is a big three-game stretch, this game, followed by the Bills, who are playing tonight, so they're going to have some extra time preparing for the Steelers, and then it's the Ravens, the first of two big head-to-head
matchups. That's going to be exciting coming back. I know you don't want to look beyond a team, and we can do it, but the team can't. But we can talk that Bills game. We win that game. We win this game on Sunday. Like I said, I predicted Steelers losing 21-20. I feel like when I predict them to win, they lose, they win, and when I predict them to lose, they win.
It's hard. It's hard to pick winners.
It's hard. And, that game at Axor Stadium next week at 4:15 is going to be incredible.
And that's a CBS game. Jonathan Allen, Nance Romo, and Tracy Wolfson will be here.
Josh
Allen
has had the Steelers' number.
Well, coming off a game, he had 6 touchdowns, 3 rushing, 3 passing. Yeah. I mean, that guy, if it's not for him, that team has struggled. But if not for him, who knows where they'd be. So look forward to it. Chris, thanks as always. We'll see you after the game.
KDK.
That's right. KDK, right after the game.
Watch you and I.
Plus, you can call us. And we take calls after that too. So.
I love the calls, Pomp. I know you kind of,
I
know you get irritated.
I don't get irritated. I like them, but some of the ones that
turn down the radio, turn down the TV.
We tell them in advance. You know how this works, Austin. Turn your TV down. Do not listen. And then it's a delay.
Well, some people just like to hear their own voice, Pomp.
Okay, but then that causes us to go back. Like, okay, you say, "Hey, Don from Manassas, go ahead, Don. Wait. Don, are you there? Hey, Bob. Yeah, Don. Chris.
The tough thing is when Craig McConnell's in our ear saying one more call.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Right, and then you get one more call, and you're like, "Johnny, go, Johnny, you there? Johnny, turn down your TV." And it's like we only have like 20 seconds.
Yeah, that's how it works. All right, Hokie Bro 76, right, bro. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Pomp.
We know we have your theme song.
What's that? Hokey Pokey?
The Hokey Pokey, right? That's the natural scene. Do you know the words of the Hokey Pokey?
You put your right foot in,
you put your right foot out, you put your right foot in, and you shake it all about. You do the Hokey Pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about.
These kids these days have no clue what that is. I used to be at the roller skating rink. Remember that?
It's still a good song.
Remember the roller skating rink? You'd sit around and you'd be a big circle and everybody would do it with their skates on. That was so fun.
Now you have to do it in rap version. Can you do that?
No, I don't know the rap version.
Well,
you know it?
No. I've heard it, but I don't know.
There's a rap version of the Hokey Pokey?
There's a rap version of that song, yeah.
There is?
Yeah, I don't know who does it.
I've never heard it. I'll have to look it up on iTunes.
Okay. Go and let me know what you think of it when you hear it. All right.
Appreciate seeing you Sunday, Pomp.
Thank you very much, Chris Hokey Bro 76. Yes, Sunday after the game, we'll be there. I want to remind you also that coming up this weekend, we have all 4 of the WPIL Championship games over at Acrisure Stadium starting at 11 o'clock, all on KDKA+. So if you tune in, we got you covered there. Some really good matchups. Also want to give a little shout out to the Pittsburgh Riverhounds playing for a championship on Saturday night in Saturday afternoon, I should say, in Tulsa. That's a noon game. We'll have it for you on KDK TV. The Hounds have been terrific, selling out crowds. Fire marshal's not happy, too many people in the building, but that's a good thing as the Riverhounds try to go for their first ever championship. That's all coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.